I'll try. Well, good evening, everyone. Good to see everybody back this evening in the house of the Lord. And what a beautiful day it's been today. And sun shining. S-U-N out there. S-O-N in here. So it's been a good day. It's been a real good day. And I'm going to go ahead and have our ushers make their way down front. And we'll take up the offering in just a moment. But I just want you to remind you of some people in need of prayer. Let's remember Miss Dawn Capistrano. She's having her surgery in the morning. And so let's remember her in prayer. And just got word, Brother Jeff Hodges is back home. And so his temperature's down. Surgery went good. So praise the Lord for that. And two, continue to remember Brother Allen, our choir director. He is away this weekend, but he does have to have a hernia surgery. And along with that, he had some complications of some medicine he was taking. And he texted me on Tuesday, I believe it was. I believe he almost fainted and couldn't walk, dizzy. So remember him when you pray. And then Brother Leonard, as he has his hemoglobin levels checked, and that would get all balanced out. And so just remember these things. Do we have any special requests tonight? Anything in addition to these? All right. Well, again, it's good to be here tonight. And so we've got a couple songs for you. And then we have a... of course, we have a message in here in just a moment. But it's a different kind of message. A little bit of Bible and a little bit of science. So we'll see what that's all about in a minute. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you for who you are, for what you do. Thank you, Lord, this morning for the service. And dear Lord, how you used the singing. God, we know you're going to use the singing tonight. Lord, thank you that when we're tested and tried, Lord, we know that you're wanting to bring something out of us great. Work something in us, Lord, that's powerful. And so, Lord, we just commit to the process. We love you tonight. We pray that you bless this offering. Use it, Lord, for the ongoing ministry here at the church. Use it for the ministries on foreign ground. And Lord, help us just give the first fruits of all of our income to you as a form of worship and obedience so that we can live under the umbrella of your financial blessing. We love you tonight. We thank you. We need you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sing that, congregation.
Yes, Jesus loves me.
Now that you remember it, now sing it.
Yes, Jesus.
Before Brother David and I and Lily sing tonight, I just want to say that God's still faithful. He's always been faithful to me. I know Miss Melita shared this morning about how God has been so good. Tonight, Justin asked me if I would sing Still Faithful. We sang this during the pandemic over Facebook Live, and I appreciate Brother David bringing this back out and working with Lily and I on it. I just pray it'll be a blessing, and just know that God is faithful. He'll see you through anything. He's seen me through so many things throughout my 41 years.
tell you what I love
about our church. I love the purity in our worship style. The purity. We're not showy. We don't have fog ascending, strobe lights. That may have that their place somewhere in the equation, but here it's all about music with a message. And I'm so very thankful for the style, the just the purity of our worship. And praise the Lord tonight for His faithfulness. Praise the Lord tonight He arose from the grave.
Amen.
We have resurrection power to be overcomers. We already are overcomers according to Scripture. So now let's just walk it out in shoe leather. All right, so good to be here tonight. Well, a little bit of Bible, a little bit of science. Let me just say this. All mostly Bible, just a little science touch tonight. I'm probably working it up, and it's really nothing but a couple little illustrations. But when I was growing up, I watched a little bit of Bill Nye the Science Guy. Anybody remember that guy? Bill Nye the Science Guy. I think in the beginning I was made to watch him, and then, I don't know, he just kind of stuck with me. And then, but that was a unique time growing up, watching him about science. And tonight I want to talk a little bit about honey and a little bit about bees. Bit about honey and a little bit about bees, but that's not the title of the message. There's a song on J93.3 and other Christian stations called Honey in the Rock. Has anybody heard that? I so desperately want our choir to learn that song. And so when Brother Allen gets back, I want to ask him about it. Let's get together, Honey in the Rock. I'm telling you, that's an amazing song. It'll be a great way of opening up a service, singing that wonderful song. And so I love that song. But I'll get back to the honey statements in just a moment. Talking about honey, talking about, I guess, food. When we're looking in Scripture, the Bible uses food, has food in it throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. And of course, it's used, food is, in the Bible, because they ate food back then. They ate food. They ate food back then like we do now. And so also, not only food in the Bible had physical meanings, but there's some places in the Bible where food had spiritual meanings as well. For example, bread. Bread in the Bible gives both a physical and spiritual application. They ate bread back then, as I said a moment ago. We eat bread now. But Jesus blessed the 2 fish and 5 loaves and fed 5,000 plus. Back in John chapter number 6. But also in verse number 35 of John 6, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And so that miracle Jesus performed, he was actually solving a physical need. They were hungry, but it was pointing to a spiritual need, their need of Jesus. And I mentioned this morning in the message, I was coming to church tonight, I was thinking, what did I say about that miracle this morning? You know, when you preach and all, you have these little lingering thoughts. What did I say about it? What did I say about it? Because I'm mentioning it tonight. I talked about the fragments this morning, the fragments. And Jesus said, gather up the fragments after the feeding of the 5,000. And what were the fragments used for? Well, we know Jesus is very detailed and nothing goes to waste. Everything's used for a purpose. They gathered those fragments. They were in the boat when they were in the middle of a storm. And the Bible says, in the middle of the storm, when they were in fear, that they considered not the miracle of the loaves. How about that? In their storm, they had a basket of bread in the boat, and they were just so scared of the storm, everything going around, they just did not take the opportunity to look down in the basket. That's a message all in itself tonight. When you're in trouble, look in your basket. When you're fearful, what's in your basket? What has God done in your life that's in your basket that you can reflect on to know that he'll bring you through the next one. And so, nonetheless, there's a both physical and spiritual application with food in the Bible. And so we looked at bread just for an example. But tonight I want to talk about honey. And the actual title would be Honey in the Bible. Honey in the Bible. There's many verses in Scripture that talk about honey. In fact, there's around 60. I thought there would be more, but there's around 60 verses in the Bible that talk about honey. And so tonight I just want to look at two verses, and I have 2 points, and then I'm done. I want to talk about the taste of honey and the place of honey. I want to talk about the taste and the place. Psalm 119 tonight. Psalm 119 and verse 103. Not sure if I told you that yet. Psalm 119 and verse number 103. My question is, and it's really a rhetorical question, but how does honey taste? How does honey taste? Well, honey is sweet. Honey is sweet. Physically, honey is sweet, but there's a spiritual application to honey which makes it sweet as well. In the book of Psalms 119, chapter number 119, verse 103, the Bible says, "How sweet are the words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." And so we see here, first and foremost, the writer is talking about the sweetness in this verse of honey. He said, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And so he's saying that honey is sweet. Honey is sweet. And, of course, we know the spiritual meaning here is that he's comparing the sweetness of honey to God's word. Now, notice what he says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste. So David says, the writer says, I've tasted a substance before, honey, and it was so sweet. And so when I am digesting God's word, it's a lot like how I feel when I'm digesting honey. It's sweet. But he says this, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. So David is saying, the writer is saying, a taste of God's word and the hidden gems in God's word is much sweeter than any gratification of physical taste. Think about that for a moment. Now, I said this morning, I'm not going to talk about food all day, but I guess I kind of am. All right, love food, okay? I'm a fish going upstream. And I love the taste of food. Food tastes great. And but yet, the writer here says, when I sit back and I think about how things taste, and I think about how God's word resonates within my heart and my mind, he says, I'm comparing it to honey. Honey is so sweet physically. But when I read God's word, and I read the promises of God and the principles of God, the writer is saying, all of these things, he is saying that God's word is sweeter than honey tastes. That's big time stuff. There's a lot of great tasting foods out there. Sizzling steak. Wonderful pizza. I said it again. Okay. All of these things. All of the cookouts and the smells and so for a person to say, that's great, that tastes great, but God's word tastes greater. That is a level of maturity, and that is a level of someone's walk with Christ when they are totally reliant on God's word. And as much as I love food, tonight I do say, God's word is sweeter than honey. It's sweeter than honey. The times that I needed help and to dive into God's word and seek my help, the verses and the chapters were still there and said the same things. God is my refuge. He's my strength. I've been able to draw strength from God's word. And so while honey failed me to get me through my trials, God's word never failed me to get me through my trials. Because God's word is sweeter than honey. And whenever we're reliant on God's word and have a relationship with him that is deep and that is purposeful, and that has meaning to it, a lot of times our perspective changes on worldly things versus spiritual things. You see, the writer says again in our verse, how sweet are the words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Tonight, God's word is sweet. His principles are sweet. His promises are sweet. Again, all the hidden gems you find in God's word are sweet. The times when you need direction in your life, and you read Romans 12, 1 and 2, where you just can't figure out what God's will is for your life. And so you go to Romans 12, 1 and 2, where Paul talks, he says, I beseech you there, brethren, therefore by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And he goes on and talks about that you may know his perfect and good will. Tonight, that is sweet. That is fulfilling. That is gratifying spiritually to know that you can dive right in Scripture and figure out what's required of us to know God's will. Romans 12, 1 again tells us that we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice. And this is only reasonable. A lot of people say, well, I want to go and be a missionary. I want to be a pastor. I want to be a teacher. I want to do this. I want to do that in ministry. Well, let me ask you, are you presenting your body a living sacrifice daily? Are you doing those very basic, simple things in your Christian walk that are required first? One time I was talking with someone, and it's been a while before we came here, and they said, Brother Justin, I just think God is calling us to go to the mission field and to serve over there. And I said, that's great. You just better make sure it's God calling you, because once you get way over there and uproot your family and find out you just had an emotional stir, you're going to be in big trouble. And so when was the last time you read your Bible? Well, it's been a while. You know, I used to read it very often, and, you know. Well, why about your prayer life? Do you pray? Well, I bless my food, and immediately I'm thinking, no. I've got to try to help this guy here. He's wanting to uproot his family and move across the world. Come to find out, he got back from a missions conference, and that's great. But you got to know for sure that God is calling you to do something. And the first step is say, Lord, I surrender all. Before that, it's coming to God for salvation. If you don't know you're saved, coming to him and saying, Lord, I repent, a sinner. I accept you as my Savior. I can't get to heaven without you. I know you have a purpose for me. Lord, I'm tired of living my life in such turmoil, just hopelessly floating through this world. You got to approach that first, and then you ask God, what will he have you to do, like Paul did? And so find out before you go out. And it's a very sweet thing, a very fulfilling thing when you dive into God's word. You could just, life could be going great, and you have a morning devotion, and then you're just flipping through the pages, and you find a place to look at for a little while. And then all of a sudden, you've read it a million times, but God is grabbing your heart. And out of nowhere, you start to say, well, you know, I got to be down the road in a little bit, but I think I'm just going to take a little more time. And you really lean in and you look and you grab your paper and you grab your pen and you sit back and you're like, I can't believe that's in there. That's amazing. The Lord just spoke to me, and I know he did. And now you're reflecting on places that you can apply this in your life. And because of that, you're thinking about things you need to do. Because you read that verse that morning, how God is changing your morning, and it ends up being a wonderful, awesome, amazing day. That is sweet. That is sweeter than honey. That is sweeter than any food, how any food tastes. And so tonight we have honey in the Bible. We have the taste, and the taste of honey is sweet, both physically and spiritually. I want to spend a little more time on the second one, but we only have 2 points tonight. We looked at the taste, but what about the place? What about the place? What do you mean, the place? I'll let you know. as we turn to Judges 14. Judges 14, verse number 5 in just a moment. The place. Where can honey be found? Where can honey be found? We have a physical location of where honey is found, but we also have a spiritual application here. Now, honey is found in honeycombs. It don't take a rocket scientist to know that. But I had to write it down anyway, so I wouldn't forget. The place, honey is found in honeycombs, but also in bee nests. Of course, that's where the honeycombs are found, inside the nests. And you can find those nests in trees, in bushes. I don't care where you find it, but just find it away from me. I can remember doing landscaping with a good friend of mine back at when we were over at Zion View. I worked landscaping for close to 10 years, including Floyd Rhodes' time. Danny Horsley, he's the pastor over at County Line Baptist. He sold his business. He worked it for years. Man, there were some occasions where we got into some bees' nests. One time we were putting in actually pipelines in the yard for a sprinkler system, and we were putting down sod. We were doing trimming stuff, and Danny grabbed that weed eater and he hit a hornet's nest. Man, he had bees all over him. And the blessing was the customer had a swimming pool in the backyard. You're not going to believe this. Danny starts screaming. I mean, he's a big masculine man and kind of screaming like he was more like a younger girl. And he goes, ah! He was throwing his cell phone off and throwing everything he had on him off, threw his shirt off. He hopped their fence and dove right in that customer's pool. I'm not kidding you. And he said as he was diving in, he felt the bees stinging him. And then even when he went underwater, he had to pull them off of him. Man, that was an attack like no other. And so these bee nests can be anywhere. So be careful. They can be in the ground. Different kind of nest. But the place where honey is found is inside the honeycombs. The honeycombs are in the bees' nests, which are in trees, bushes, etc. I seen a highlight one time on YouTube where an actual nest was located on a street sign in downtown New York City. You believe that? Out of all places, at a major intersection, there were thousands of bees just grouped up on two streets. The signs crossed like that. And there was just thousands of bees just crowding around there. They can be anywhere. Honey is sweet and can be found in various places. Now, let me get into our science lesson for just a moment. Honeycombs are made from beeswax. When the temperature is right, worker bees secrete wax from their glands in their bodies. Then they, listen to this, then they chew the wax with the nectar they digested from plants. I had to look it up, what that looked like. I had to, just a close up. I mean, you just see, just, it's amazing. Look it up, it's funny. So honeycombs are made from beeswax. When the temperature's right, worker bees secrete wax from their special glands in their body. They then chew the wax with the nectar they digested from plants. This creates honey and the comb. How about that? If I didn't get that right in science, I always made a D. Just remember that. Now, what's the spiritual meaning here tonight? Well, let's look in Judges chapter number 14. Notice in verse number 5, if you would. We know that Samson wanted to go down to Timnath, and he saw a woman there, did not belong in Timnath, should not be asking of the daughters of the Philistines. But he told his parents, in verse 2, he said, and he came up and told his father and his mother. He said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me to wife. Never, 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 children, tell your parents what to do. I'm going to tell you, never tell them what to do. And we know the outcome of that situation was so bad. Now, so they go, look in verse number 5. Then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. That's one thing you'll find being where you're not supposed to be. You'll find the devil as a roaring lion. And so there was this young lion roared against him. Verse 6, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid or a goat. And he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time, he returned to take her. And he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating. And came to his father and mother, and he gave them, and they did eat. But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. Wow, what a scene. What a scene. So he demands, Samson does, he demands a woman of the Philistines. And so they go to Timnath. And then while he's there, he comes in contact with this lion, a young lion. The Spirit of God came upon him, and he killed that lion. He went to that lady's house, that woman's house. The Bible says she pleased him well, and he went on his way. The sin's been committed, and all of that. He should not have never told his parents what to do, and they were looking out for him, trying to give counsel, but he had to have his way. And then he's on his way back to see the carcass. And so, as we're looking at honey in the Bible, what's the spiritual significance here? We know that honey is found in combs, and they're in beehives, and beehives are found in trees and bushes, etc. But the Bible says that this honey was in this carcass. It was in a carcass of a dead lion. How about that? So what can we glean from here? Well, we know that Samson killed this lion by the Spirit of God, and the bees created honey inside its carcass. And so there's certainly a message here. The Spirit of God enabled Samson to kill the lion, then eat the honey out of its rotten flesh. So what can we gather? We all experience rotten situations in life. We go through times where things are bad. We go through experiences where they are certainly, they're just rotten. They stink. We don't like what's going on. But at the same time, God has a way of allowing us to find some sweet spots in the middle of all of the rottenness we may be going through. You're having a bad day. You're struggling really bad. Ask God for help. Ask God for His direction, and He can make your bitter day sweet. He can do that on a very practical, simple level. There was honey in this dead lion. And so tonight, we can certainly glean how that God supplies during bad times. A good reference story I want to add to this would be when the children of Israel, under the leadership of Moses, led them out of Egypt, and they were making their way toward the promised land and came to a place called Marah. They were thirsty. 3 days' journey, no water. And I want to tell you what, I have the world's best water Sunday in, Sunday out. It is not only water, it is ice water. It's wonderful. And so they were thirsty. They needed something to drink. They were so thirsty, they even started complaining to Moses. Said, Moses, it'd been better if you just left us back in Egypt to die. We are so thirsty. Tongue stuck to the roof of our mouth. What are you going to do? they complained to Moses, and Moses cried unto the Lord. They came to Marah. They couldn't drink the waters because they were bitter waters. But yet they needed to drink. So the people complained to Moses, and Moses cried out to the Lord, "Oh God, I need an answer. What do you want me to do, Lord? How do you want me to handle this situation? The people need help. I don't know what to tell them. We're at a body of water, but it's bitter." One of those experiences where God has to do something here. God has to do something. And so the Old Testament foreshadows. I love it how it pictures Jesus, because while Moses cried to the Lord showed him a tree. Showed him a tree. And when he cast that tree in those waters, the bitter waters were made sweet. It is a foreshadow of the cross. And so the takeaway from that is, we go through bitter experiences. And we could get mad at God, we can get bitter at the church, walk away, throw up our hands, or we can experience the grace of God, the mercy of God, the miracles of God, just by saying, "Lord, I can't do this. You must intervene. I surrender all. God, you know what I'm up against. I need your power. You saved me. You changed my life. If you can do that, you can do anything. Lord, I apply the cross to my bitterness." And you'll be surprised how God can turn your bitter water sweet. He sure can. He's turned my bitter water sweet before, when things didn't go my way, situations happened I didn't agree with, and yet I still needed to come forth and show myself and be responsible in the areas of my life. I had to make a decision: either continue with my mask, acting fake, or take it down and repent and ask God to walk me through it. Walk me through, Lord, walk me through. And God's done it ever since. And through that, through those experiences, he matures us. And so whenever we get to another experience, it kind of looks similar to the last experience, doesn't it? And we remember some of the things we gleaned from that last experience. Oh, mercy, I see something brewing here. Something's about to brew. Something's about to get bad. I remember what I did last time with this situation, and so I'm going to apply that education to this situation, and I'm going to pass this test. So tonight, the Lord allowed those bitter waters to be made sweet. There was sweetness found within the bitterness. And when it comes to Samson and this young lion and the honey that was on the inside, at least one way you can look at it is that God can allow you to taste some sweetness from the rottenness of life, from the bad times in life, those hard situations. If we just acknowledge him and trust him, the Lord will allow us to find a sweet place to serve him. Now, tonight we're trying to look at a little bit of things about honey in the Bible. And that was just two verses this evening. And I wanted to get to three or maybe four, but I didn't want to rush it. And so, we may pick this back up on next Sunday night. But the taste, the place, and you'll be surprised at what you can glean out of food in the Bible. Food. I'm trying to get away from it. But it just keeps rearing its ugly head. I tell you what, we'll talk about spiritual food and not physical food. All right, enough about food altogether. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for everything today. Thank you for being who you are. Lord, I pray that we would just look to you for salvation. We would look to you for help. Help us start our week, Lord, on the right foot. God, help us be energetic and getting things done and just moving forward, not looking at the past. And let us, Lord, have some vision, not just at the church, but our personal lives and home lives. Let us forge ahead, Lord, with joy in our hearts. Give us a great week this week. Remember, dear Lord, I pray that you'd be with Miss Dawn in the morning at her surgery. We love you tonight, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Brother David will play whatever he's going to play, and we'll give a moment of response before we conclude. If you need to come and pray, anything at all, now's the time. Feel free to come. Been good being here tonight, and appreciate you listening. Great, great listeners. We'll be dismissing a word of prayer if there's nothing else to mention. All right, then. Everybody have a great, safe week, and remember Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. We will meet again. All right. Brother Celon, would you close us out one more time?